Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free, coast-to-coast. I'm excited about our guest this half hour. Ray Hederman is a new friend of ours. He's Manager of Operations at the Heritage Foundation Center for Data Analysis, and he's going to talk to us about the competing tax codes, tax proposals, I should say, that are out there. Ray, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you on the show, and it's good to be here. It's great to be here at the Heritage Foundation. Thanks for the great hospitality.
Well, we always welcome and we're glad to have you back.
I appreciate it. Ray, tell us about the different proposals, tax proposals that are out there. Of course, we know about the president's. He proposed an initial $726 billion over 10 years. The House trimmed that to $550. Three of his fellow Republican senators want to trim it to $350. Some people are saying that it's going to wind up being around $450. Who knows? But the news really today at this moment is the fact that the president's proposal is not the only one out there.
Absolutely correct. Right now we have about four competing proposals. We have the president's proposal, which a lot of people think is no longer really viable. We have the proposal by the House, which they just passed over the weekend. And now we have the Senate proposal, which will be going forward to a vote this week, and as well as we have the Democratic alternatives. As you mentioned, these proposals are marked by a variety of different ways. First of all, of course, they all cost different amounts. And second of all, there's a couple of unique approaches that each, the president, the House, and the Senate have taken to the tax proposals.
Well, now, I think we pretty much know what the president wants. He wants no taxation on dividends. He wants to triple the direct expensing for small business. He wants to lower some marginal rates and some other things that he wants. And marriage tax penalty, reduce that, and ultimately eliminate it. Increases in child care, that sort of thing. Give us the laundry list of the primary differences in these others.
Sure. The biggest difference which occurs between all the different plans is how they really treat the taxation of dividends. I'm sure most of your listeners have heard the president saying that the dividends is really the heart of his plan.
Right.
And it's over this that each of the plans really differ. The House is taking an approach which it says, let's tax dividends like we tax capital gains at two rates. That we have, currently we tax capital gains at 10 and 20%. Mm-hmm. Let's cap dividends the same way, but let's lower the tax rate on dividends and capital gains to 5 and 15%. So you're getting a tax cut for dividends, and you'd also be getting a capital gains tax cut. Now, this is important because what this does is it reduces the cost of capital on businesses. And right. This should encourage businesses to expand their employment, to seek out new development opportunities, and really, I think, boost business investment in the economy, which we sorely need.
Well, no question about it. And now that's the House.
That is the House proposal. As I said, the House has already passed that earlier. And right now, because I believe full repeal is just not really viable in Washington, we've seen signs from the White House that they are on board with the House proposal of reducing dividends and cap gains to 5 and 15. So that right now looks like the best case of dividends tax relief coming out of Washington.
So the House proposal includes lowering not only taxation on dividends, but also on capital gains.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of that wasn't even in the president's proposal, was it?
And then absolutely not. And so we say the House going in a different direction, and their idea is if we can't get full dividends repeal, let's try to, tier these two proposals together because they're very similar in a lot of ways. They're both return on your investment from business.
Right.
And let's tax these the same rate, lower the cost of capital, and continue to try to encourage business to invest.
And of course, we know that when capital gain taxes are lower, that does spur the economy.
Absolutely correct. All we got to do is look at what happened in 1997 and look at our other times we've had large capital gains rate cuts. We see income tax collections go up briefly as people cash in unprofitable stock. Mm-hmm. We see people seeking out better investments in terms of the stock market or in terms of expanding their businesses.
Right. Absolutely. No question about it. Okay. Now tell us about the Senate.
Well, the Senate has,
Absolutely.
The Senate has had a lot more problems than the House. Both Congress agreed to a $550 budget resolution, And then a big firestorm broke out in Washington because the Senate said, well, we technically agreed to 550, but we're really only going to do $350 billion
because
over 10 years.
Senator Snow, Voinovich, and
Chafee. Absolutely right.
Lincoln Chafee.
Yes. And so, and in fact, actually, Senator Snow, a little bit out of Maine, is really kind of the biggest stumbling block,
right,
because she sits on the Finance Committee,
right,
so Senator Grassley had to get her vote to make sure his bill could even leave his own committee.
Right.
And so what the Senate is doing, the Senate is saying, let's not change the rates, let's not eliminate dividends, let's instead exempt a small amount of dividends from taxation. And so the current proposal and everything that has passed the committee but has not passed the full Senate is to eliminate the first, I believe, $500 in dividends, make that totally exempt from taxation, be just like a deduction, and then 10% of above that for the first couple of years. And the problem with this is it doesn't address the problem of lowering the taxation rate on capital. So the business spur you get from the House plan, from the President's plan, because you're not lowering people's marginal rates, you're not really encouraging people to go out there and invest, you're just not going to get the same positive economic benefits you do from the House and the President's proposal.
Absolutely. Now, that's an excellent tour that you've just given us, Ray, of those three programs. But recently, very recently actually, the Democrats have introduced their own proposal.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there are the competing proposals both from the House and Senate. I think Senator Daschle is being presented the alternative Senate Democratic plan. And we see some things in common with all three plans, which is some marriage penalty reform, accelerating the 10% bracket. So some of the plans do have all these things in common in marriage penalty. But the centerpiece of the Democrats' plan is a return to the rebate idea, where we give $300 per working American. So I believe if you work and everything, you get a $300 check for you, your spouse, and up to two kids. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a return to what I think are the failed rebates that we tried in the 70s and in 2001, which, again, doesn't really encourage people to go out, work more, and invest more.
Well, the thing is, the problem we have in our economy right now is not the consumer.
Absolutely not.
The consumer has been just incredible for over this whole difficult period of 3 or 4 years. Consumer confidence bounced in April. It went up like about 14 or 16 points, I think, and it just leapt off the table almost. So consumer confidence is back. The problem we have in America is capital investment. And so a rebate does not address that.
Right. What we've seen is that a real consumption expenditure per person has increased by the past couple of years, even outstripping their increase in real income.
Right.
So people are continuing to outspend their source of means. But the problem is we've had 8 negative quarters of business investment going down. And so this really is a capital problem that we have in our economy, and dividends is the best way to address that.
I agree with that. Ray, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, we've got 20 after. Ray Hederman is our guest, Ray Hederman Jr., and he and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. My website is www.jbsba.com. Ray Hederman is our guest, and Ray, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Heritage Foundation?
The Heritage Foundation, Jim, is a nonprofit organization that's been around for about 28 years here in Washington, D.C. We're dedicated in trying to reduce the size and scope of government and obviously in favor of smart pro-growth tax policies. We're encouraging of a strong national defense as well as kind of promoting the civic virtue. And what we do here is we write policy papers and try to educate Congress in the United States on what we feel is the best public policy choices.
Right. And you do it well, too. And I encourage everyone in my audience to check out their website at heritage.org.
Absolutely. And there you'll find our latest policy papers on the recent tax cut debate in Washington, as well as on Iraq and a host of other issues of today.
Right. And it's heritage.org, right? Not, is it Heritage Foundation?
It's heritage.org.
ORG, yeah, okay. And, folks, that is an atomic website. I mean, there's just so much stuff there. If you want to know more about free markets, if you want to know more about controlling government size and so many different things that you can find there. Let's get back into the tax proposals that are out there right now. I want you to tell us what you think is going to wind up happening, and then I want to talk a little bit about small business. What do you think is going to wind up?
Well, I'm heartened at least that the Senate is addressing the dividends issue in some fashion. And so it makes me think right now that we will be seeing some type of dividends tax relief. I think that maybe a 5.15 rate for capital gains and dividends isn't enough.
Two rates, 5 and 15.
Yes, sir. And then I think maybe they could compromise and maybe tax a dividends and capital gains at 8 and 18 as a possible compromise solution. But
right.
I do think we will have some good fundamental reform on dividends. I think some of the provisions that appear in all the packages, like marriage penalty reform, maybe some child tax credit increase, reducing the marginal rates and accelerating the rate reductions. And so I think those things we'll probably see coming out of the total tax package. One of the things that the Senate did is the Senate actually has tax increases to try to make their tax cut bigger.
Right.
My guess is some of those will be stripped out. So we'll probably be looking at a total tax package of around maybe $450 billion, I'm hoping that can pass through the Senate.
Well, that's very interesting. I just had Pete Sepp on with National Taxpayers Union last hour. We were talking about, primary thing we were talking about was the corporate malfeasance wanting some of their tax money back. And he used the same number. He came up with 450 as well. So that's very interesting that you guys would arrive at the same number. When do you think it will happen, Ray?
Well, I think it'll happen very quickly. I think you have two things driving this. I think, number one, you obviously have the president is starting to focus on the economy, and we'll obviously want a very strong economy as we head into 2004. And then you have the simple fact of the matter is that most tax bills are completed by the summer. My guess is the Senate will pass their bill this week. They'll head off into conference, and probably we'll have a bill signing sometime in June.
Really? All right. That's pretty quick. What is in this proposal that we're going to wind up with, not the ones that are being bannered about and discussed right now, but the one that the Heritage Foundation thinks is going to be signed, the 450, let's say, what's in that for small business?
Well, I think there's three besides dividends, I think there's three things small business can focus on. One is a small provision to expand Section 179 to increase small business deductions. I think currently small businesses conduct $25,000 immediately.
Direct expensing of capital items.
Exactly. And I think that will be bumped up to $75,000.
We'll get the whole number?
Well, I've seen the whole number in both the President's, the House, and the Senate proposal.
Wow.
And you know, unfortunately, the way things work in Washington, it is a small ticket item.
Right.
It doesn't cost in the hundreds of billions of dollars, so I think
right.
there's a strong chance that'll happen. As you know, a lot of small businesses file as regular taxpayers, and so I think the rate reductions should help small business owners and partners. The big question, of course, is how much of the rates will be affected. We found that two-thirds of the people who file in the top tax bracket have small business income,
mm-hmm.
so obviously complete rate reductions will really help them, but unfortunately I'm not sure how much of that will be passed in the compromise. And the third item, which actually is different from the president's plan, is to increase the business depreciation. As you know, we had a bonus depreciation of an extra 30% that we passed, I believe, last year. And the plan is to bump that up to 50% expensing and depreciation for a qualified business property investment and extend that to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to think that would pass. So there would be those four items. You'd have your section business expensing up to $75,000, accelerating the rate reductions, dividends and capital gains repeal, and the bonus depreciation.
Well, you know, Ray, as I've said many times on this show, we might not like the numbers, but we got to like the trend.
Absolutely. And so you've seen reports coming out saying that Republicans want to try to have a tax bill every year President
yeah.
Bush is in office,
yeah.
which I think is a very strong statement to try to reverse the trend of citizens paying more and more
right.
in terms of taxes, and not just nominal dollars, but real dollars, the percentage of their income going to the federal government. And so anytime we can roll back and have good tax reform in terms of, you know, only taxing income once, helping businesses out, write off more in their investments,
right.
reducing marginal rates, that's a positive trend in development from Washington.
Absolutely. And, of course, at some point in time, we got to stop the spending.
Absolutely. And so I think that is one of the big issues right here in Washington, that the Congress has continually spent more than President Bush requested.
Right.
And so, obviously, anytime you have...
On both sides of the aisle.
Well, I mean...
This is not Republican... This is not just Democrats or just Republicans.
Well, in fact, I think Republicans probably come in for more of the blame than Democrats do, because Republicans have been in charge of the House, and,
right.
and you know, for since 94,
right.
and we've just seen massive spending increases in the last 6 years under Republican Congress.
Right. Ray Hederman, will you come back another day?
I'd love to come back, Jim.
We'll do it again another day. Thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
Ray Hederman, ladies and gentlemen, with the Heritage Foundation. He'll be back. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with Peter Meyer after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.